Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Best in domestics, imports, microbrews. You're talking about the best in snacks, soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. LeBron James chooses the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's over! I celebrate
the significant.
End. Yeah, no argument. I just celebrate the end of it.
Yeah, but the end, you know, let's be realistic here. I mean, he made his choice 27 hours after you were allowed to make the choice.
I'm very happy. I think it's great that he did it quickly. He didn't let it drag on. Because if it would have drug on, it would have felt like an ego trip. And I think he did the right thing. He made the decision quickly, decisively, and now we can all move on.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. It's interesting how he did it the first time and then how he did it this time.
Exactly. Night and day.
A letter to SI.com, and it's really well written. It's really well written. Very intriguing. Talking about his passion for Northeast Ohio. Nobody writes that. Well, think, for example, about that. Did you grow up in Danville?
No.
Where'd you grow up?
Columbia County, so it wasn't that far away, but I'm native to the region. I mean, it's equivalent to being growing up in Akron.
But I'm saying, though, but you know, I'm sure there have been opportunities in life to leave, and you didn't want to leave.
Yes, there have been
home,
many.
It's your home area. And look, I know the feeling. I've been here for 34 years now. Actually, 36, including school. Have I had opportunities to leave? Yeah. Whether it's college or higher than that. But I didn't want to. This is you have to know who you are. And I think that's a big part of this, knowing who you are and what, you know, having a sense about you. He took less money to go to Miami to win championships. He won championships. Now he's going to go back to Cleveland, going to get the max deal, and that's what he's going to do. Now, there's one element of this that I don't like. And it's a Stephen A. Smith story saying that at one point Pat Riley wanted to meet with LeBron James either during or right after the finals.
Yeah, I heard
right
him talking about that today.
Right. Okay. And this is the element I don't like. Well, if you're going to talk to me, you're going to talk to my agent. You know, when you're an employee, I mean, would you and I tell Roger, hey, Roger, talk to my agent, man. He wants to talk to us. We talk to him. Okay. I mean, right? I mean, that Pat
Absolutely.
Riley's the boss. And that's the part, that's the only part I don't like. So,
if that's true, I mean, that maybe that's taken out of context, too.
Sure.
You know, maybe he said something to the point of, listen, I'd like to, but I'm advised not to. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt there. This was handled. I thought this whole thing was handled about as well as you could handle it. And for something like that to happen, that would be just a shame, because that would be the mistake, one mistake in this whole process.
Yeah. So, if true, okay. If not, we'll just move on to the other things. So.
But I thought the things... he addressed the one issue that I think we all wanted him to address, and that's the reason he left in the first place. And I think he did it... He actually worded it, not in so many words, of immaturity. And not realizing the kind of impact it would have in Cleveland by making this decision. I really thought that was really taking the high road there.
Mm-hmm. Well, now... the other dominoes are going to fall into place. Expect Chris Bosch now to sign with the Houston Rockets. The Rockets had 72 hours to match Chandler Parsons' contract. Parsons is a good player. Let me put it this way. The Miami Heat signed Josh McDaniels. Chandler Parsons is a much better player. And he now will sign that contract with them. And they'll match it, bring him back, because Bosch and Parsons fit under this. So actually, this is a big day for the Rockets, as far as I'm concerned, because of the way it played out. I think that's how it'll play out. I think Carmelo Anthony's going to go with the Knicks. But again, what happens? I mean, the NBA is starting to do what the NFL has done. They've been able to, in the offseason, dominate the news cycle and have done it in such a way where one sport in particular takes a backseat to everything else. And what sport is that? Between the World Cup and the NBA signing, where is the baseball? Right? What's the big story of baseball, other than Kevin complaining about... Derek Jeter.
The All-Star game's coming up.
The Phillies. And that is an absolute afterthought right now. It's an afterthought. All right? I mean, it'll finally take center stage at some point, but... I mean, Clayton Kershaw pitched another great game last night. Another great game. Should be celebrated, right? Now, of course, it took place in the West Coast, but... here's the game's best pitcher pitching like the game's best pitcher, and he was outstanding in last night's game. By the way, we're going to have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on the show next half hour to talk about the Pirates, about the Penguins, and about the Steelers. I know you're excited about Steeler camp.
I'm always excited about Steeler camp.
Why?
It's a fresh start. It's a chance to forget about last year and not making the playoffs.
Or is it because it's part of the anticipation?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a fresh start. I mean, you're feeling good about your team right now. Listen, everybody this time of year feels good about their football team. It's what happens after week one is when things start to change.
Do you really believe Jacksonville Jaguar fans are sitting there right now feeling really good about their football team?
I think Jacksonville's just happy to think of anything other than last year's football team. I think they're excited about having Cabanas right now compared to last year's football team.
Although they drafted well. I will say this. They did draft well at Jacksonville.
They have an option at quarterback now that actually is somebody people might actually know.
Allegedly, they're not going to play him right away.
Well, and that's fine. That's fine. But at least there's hope. I mean, listen, when the highlight of the season, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, the highlight of the season is that you find your team is putting in Cabanas and taking out a section of seats. You know, there's not a whole lot to get excited about. So, you know, any little bit of optimism is needed there.
No question. No question. So... but, yeah, I mean, training camp's coming up. It's all part of what makes August special. Are you kidding? It's all about what makes August special.
You got high school players getting ready to go. They've been lifting, a couple of walkthroughs. Then pretty soon they start two-a-days, and every high school football player thinks he's got a shot to be a starter. And then week one happens, and, well, then things change. So, yeah, there's a little bit of excitement there.
Does the part where things change, is that where the disappointment starts?
Sometimes,
you?
Yeah. Sometimes that's where the disappointment starts.
So that part's not fun.
It depends on what happens in week one.
By the way, if you win in week one, you still have a level of excitement.
Absolutely. Like, today really? Is probably the most excited I've been through the whole baseball season since opening day.
Because they swept Milwaukee.
Exactly. Now, I realize it was Milwaukee at home, which everybody's almost had a chance to sweep them at home. But still, it's optimism. It's something to be happy about if you're a Phillies fan. They hit the ball. They scored runs. They got some good pitching. I mean, you want to live this series for the next couple of days. This is the kind of series, if you're a Phillies fan, you wished ended the first half of the season and you went to the All-Star break.
Cliff Lee, 60-day DL, can't trade him.
I didn't think he was going to be able to be traded anyway, and I didn't suspect anybody would want to take a chance.
Why wouldn't he be traded? Big game pitcher, been there?
No, I'm not saying they wouldn't want to trade him. I just didn't think anybody would want to take the chance.
Chance on what? His salary is what?
His everything. Is he going to be able to play? Is he going to be able to come back?
Well, I mean, now you can.
Now
can't.
You
I'm
know.
Just saying.
Now you know.
It's like last year, you were on vacation last year, and I asked which Phillies player would you trade, and the overwhelming number was Ryan Howard. And I kept saying, you can't trade Ryan Howard. And they said, why not? I said, he's on the DL. So nobody trades for an injured guy. You just don't, you don't trade for an injured guy.
You know, since we're talking baseball, this is something I wanted to bring up the other day. Now, the All-Star game, we've talked about this many times. The luster is gone from that. I find that one of the most exciting things I ever watched in the All-Star game, and it was because maybe it was because it was rarely covered, but it's Home Run Derby. And the Home Run Derby has gotten so long. It's like watching the entire game. I'm not even interested anymore into seeing who's in the Home Run Derby. I set my DVR an hour and a half into the Home Run Derby so I don't get the prelim rounds and I don't have to watch guys hit 800 home runs before they finally get to the final. Now, I understand this year the format is different. It's a head-to-head battle now, bracketed.
Okay.
Is that true?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they go. It's not like all five guys are going to hit at once, and then all five National League guys are going to hit at once, and then they're going to cut it down to four or three. Then they're going to cut it down again. At least you have like a head-to-head thing going on. How did they do? Maybe 10 pitches. You get 10 pitches to do something with. Now, if you let a pitch go by, it doesn't count. But you get 10 pitches to do something with. If you hit the home run, it counts. If you don't, it's an out, and you move on. I'm not exactly sure how they're doing the first round, but it looks like they're bracketing up the first round, so it shouldn't take as long. This is a step in the right direction. Baseball's making the right move here. Now, if they could just figure out a way to speed up the game itself.
They already have the mechanism. Call the rules.
Yeah, use Bounce. The rules, right.
Follow them.
So here's what the format changes to. The first round will go from 10 outs to 7. That's a step in the right direction. I think you just give 10 pitches. 10 pitches, 10 swings, move on.
Yeah. I really don't care. All right.
There's a shocker.
It's a meaningless contest. I don't care. It's a made-for-TV thing. But you know what it does? It heightens the anticipation. No, it doesn't. News next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Post on Facebook from Sean, who said my argument about the 14 jerseys, about Chuck Fusina, John Schaefer, is laughable. I'm glad he has a sense of humor.
Well, you were talking about the number yeah. of the jersey corresponding with right. players.
Right. All my point is, there's going to be a point where he's not here anymore. You're going to have your 14 jersey, and guess what? There's going to be another 14 wearing it. Okay. Just like for all those people who bought 14 jerseys when it was Todd Blackledge, suddenly they're wearing him for John Schaefer. And they, Bob, you know, over the years, 14 is the number that's been used a lot by Penn State quarterbacks. There are a lot of old 14 jerseys out there. They just transition from one number to the next. Of course, you know, you get a lot of people on the bandwagon who just have done zero research. I mean, about everything players get. You know, they think they ought to be paid. Well, all these people, you can sit in the studio and you can do the Ivory Tower show, or you can get your hands dirty and actually be there and know what's going on. Now, I'm lucky I get access, so I get to be there and know what's going on. All right? So I don't want to hear, when it comes to paying players, okay, I've bent on stipends. I'm not going any further than that. No further than that. And I don't want to hear about, I bought my 14 jerseys. There are a whole bunch of 14 jerseys that were sold here before he ever came here. There's no doubt why they're buying 14. Now they're buying it because it's Christian Hackenberg's number. No doubt, okay? Zero, zip, zilch. 5 years from now, when you still have your 14 jersey, and there's another 14 here who also might be really, really good. That's my point. There are a whole bunch of people that bought 14s a long time ago that have them. People bought 14s in the 90s still have them. People bought 22s. What's 20? What's 22? Is it John? Did you buy it because of Capoletti? Did you buy it during the Evan Royster era? Or did you buy it now because of Akil Lynch? I mean, it's the numbers transcend time here. That's my point. I'm sorry Sean didn't see the point, because there will be another guy wearing 14 here down the road. There'll be, there won't be anybody wearing 22 down the road, but there'll be another guy wearing 14. there'll be another guy wearing eight. Jack Ham's one of the greatest players in the history of this program. Okay? Colt Cipiale's going to wear 33 this year. And guess what? You know? There are a bunch of people I see wear 33s that show up at the tailgate because of Jack Ham. I see Cole's family, they're wearing 33 for him. I mean, what's, you know? So, yes, my point was laughable, Sean. Except I know what I'm talking about. All right. And I know what his point is. His point is simple. You're absolutely right. Sean is absolutely correct. You're buying 14 because of Christian Hackenberg now. 4 or 5 years. How long have you had your Polo and Polo Malo jersey? 20 years?
I don't think so.
You've had it a while, though.
Yeah, I have had it a while. I have a Rod Woodson jersey, too.
Yeah, most people keep, I mean, 5 years from now, somebody else is going to be wearing 14. You'll have your 14 jersey. You just mentally will transition. And say 14 happens to be another really good quarterback here. Well, mentally, you'll wear your 14 jersey to the game. And you'll just mentally transfer from Hackenberg to Brand X, who's ever wearing it 5 years from now. That's my point. It could be anybody in the lineage along the way. For all those people who may have old 14 jerseys from Anthony Morelli several years ago are now telling everybody it's a Christian Hackenberg's number now.
I have a Penn State jersey that's number 6. I don't even know who that is or who that was. It was just a jersey at that point.
Malik Golden fan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Could have been Ray Roundtree. Could have been James Boyd, who was a third-team All-American at safety. Could be Derek Moy.
No, it was well before Moy, I can tell you that right now.
Probably would be Boyd. Because they probably would have sold that number during his senior year. And he was a draftable player. Third-team All-American, the whole thing. Probably the best defender they had on that team in that particular year. Because you're trying to pick out, because I noticed I was in the Penn State bookstore today. They had 81, Adam Brenneman. Yeah. And they had 14. They also had 8, Allen Robinson's old number. Okay. I don't know who's going to wear 8 now. But those are the numbers they had. Yeah. But the point, I know that people want to make the point. If you want to put your name on a jersey, go to the company yourself and have them make a jersey for you.
I had that done for me as a gift.
No, but I'm saying the player.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But
they can't. But that's why, you know, Chris Webber lamenting they're selling my jersey. We're like, oh, for goodness sakes. The guy made, I had a $122 million contract with the Sacramento Kings. I think his Michigan experience paid off. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, again, that's the issue I have is that it's the argument to pay players is a very simplistic one. Very simplistic. Okay? If you lay it out, there are 107,000 people there, or there are 12,000 in the arena that should be paid to play. Right? That's the simplistic argument. Okay? Where college sports has failed dramatically is telling the public everything the student athletes get. Where they have failed dramatically is telling everyone that, hey, look, if you want your wrestling, women's volleyball, field hockey, women's soccer, women's gymnastics, men's gymnastics, baseball, softball, track programs, and so forth, this is how we pay for their scholarships, to give them opportunities. Now, you, the fan, may not go, but when they win something like a Big Ten title or a national championship, which happened this year in fencing, women's volleyball, and wrestling, right? How many of you have ever been to a fencing meet? How many? But when they won the fencing championship, a lot of people going, isn't that great they won the fencing championship? Well, how do you think that happened? It happened because of money that's brought in and put into the pool so they can have scholarships. They have scholarship athletes. And, you know, I doubt any of them is a full scholarship. But I mean, that's how it works. I mean, it's as simple as that. So, yeah, that the 14 could mean whatever. Sean missed my point. There's going to be a point 5-10 years from now where somebody else is going to wear 14 and you'll have the 14 jersey. Are you going to go out and buy a new 14? Especially at Penn State where the jersey doesn't change. Are you going to buy a new one? Doubt it. You'll just wear it and go, hey, I'm wearing this now for Anderson, first team all Big Ten quarterback. Anderson, I'm wearing 14 now. Okay, that's great. Yeah, I bought it during the Hackenberg era, but, you know, he's gone now. But Anderson wears 14. It's one of those numbers that's been just a really good number over the years. That was my only point about that, transitioning from era to era to era. If you bought it at one point, it's amazing how it comes back in style now. You're always in style, Kevin.
Thanks. Me and my jams.
That was more information than I needed. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Always happy to hang out with you guys. How are you today?
Doing well, Tony. Gerrit Cole, let's start there. I know the Pirates are being cautious. Anything other than that?
You know, I don't think it's anything other than that, although, you know, you probably do need to raise an eyebrow at least a little bit. He's pitched 5 innings in the past month and a half or so, and they're talking about holding him out all the way until August. Now, that's only 3 weeks away, and one of those weeks will have 4 days with no games, obviously because of the All-Star break. So, you know, I guess that is a positive. But, you know, you never do like to see a guy this young get put on the shelf this often, and that's happened quite a bit over the past couple of weeks. But I guess the flip side of that is you talked about arm fatigue. So rather than have a young guy pitch through that, they gave him a little bit of a break. He comes back, and now we get a possible back strain or at least lat soreness. You know, again, you're right. Nothing but being very, very cautious. But this rotation needs Gerrit Cole. I think he's the best pitcher on the staff. He's a horse. He always has been a horse. You just hate to see a guy, I guess, pitch through any of those things for fear that he may hurt the arm, actually. So I guess that's really what it is. But they do miss him. There's no doubt about that.
Ironically, A.J. Burnett of the Phillies is considered to be tradable. Almost every Philadelphia Philly is considered to be tradable. And guess one of the teams mentioned happened to be the Pirates. Would you rule that out of the realm of possibility in any way, Tony?
No, I would not rule it out. Obviously, that kind of a contract is a lot easier to deal with if you're only going to pay 2 months worth of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly would be the case if they made a trade late. He liked it here. He got a great ovation, a very, very warm reception when he pitched against Jeff Locke the other day on a Sunday afternoon. Got a standing ovation, actually. And he talked in, you know, great. And why wouldn't he have great memories? He had a really good 2 years here, and the team was successful. Listen, Francisco Liriano's coming back off the disabled list here on Sunday. We don't know what Liriano we're getting. If he doesn't pitch well, if Cole continues to be banged up, who knows if Vance Worley can continue this great run that he's had. Started to show some signs of wear and tear against the Cardinals a little bit, but just one game. So all this great pitching depth that the Pirates have had over the past month and a half is still tenuous at best. So no, I would not rule that out. Again, you get a Burnett in that rotation, and it really does solidify things, you know, for a stretch run. So I would not rule that out at all. Obviously, it's going to depend on what the Phillies want. So the Pirates are going to be very, very fickle when it comes to that. They certainly were last year, and they have been in the past.
And justifiably so. I think they've handled it right the past couple of years. Anything else position-wise where, you know, when you sniff around a little bit, you say, you know, the Pirates might be looking for X position, what would that be?
Well, you know, first base has been a hole for a long time for this team. They tried to fill it with Justin Morneau last year. He didn't play very well for the Pirates the last 2 months of the season. Didn't have a very good playoff. The ironic thing is they let Garrett Jones go. You know, they DFA'd him before the season after a subpar year. They let Justin Morneau sign with Colorado. Both of those guys are having much better years than the two first basemen the Pirates have right now.
I know.
Gabby Sanchez and Mike Davis. All that being said, though, you know, Mike Davis has a three-year contract right now, or 3 years left on his contract. Sanchez is up for arbitration at the end of the year. I don't know that they're going to make a move there, even though, guys, that has really been a black hole, especially over the past month. The team has gotten hot offensively, but both first basemen have hit under 200, each of them have, since May 1st. You really can't have that.
Brandon Compton's a guy that had to step into the role. He's been on the Indianapolis shuttle for a while. It seems like he pitches well virtually every time they put him out there. With everything that's happened, is there a sense of permanency with him, or should he keep that apartment in Indianapolis?
You know, the unfortunate thing for Compton is he's a pitcher with options.
Right.
You know, so he's the guy that can go back and forth to the minors, and he has done that. And I do wonder if that's weighing on him. He's had four stints now with the Pirates. He didn't pitch well yesterday.
No.
He really has had two outings where he's not pitched well. I think he's had nine starts this year. The other seven have been very, very good. So, you know, again, I said before that it was a tenuous situation as far as the starting pitching. I think that you know, Compton's a good example of that. In a long answer to that question, I would say there's not a sense of permanence right now with Compton.
Hockey, were you surprised at the Sidney Crosby announcement on the wrist surgery?
Yes and no. I think it was clear there was something bothering him. He, you know, not only did he not score, he didn't score last year either in the playoffs at the end against Boston, but he looked like the same Sidney Crosby. It wasn't for lack of opportunity a year ago. A couple of months ago against the Rangers, he just wasn't the same player. So I'm not that surprised by it. You know, I guess if you think about it, he's probably in a situation where he's not going to mention the surgery, or he's not going to mention the issue during the playoffs. And if he mentions it afterward, you know, people are going to be saying he's making excuses and so forth. So it's kind of a no-win situation for him. I don't think it's that great of an injury. Could it have affected him? Yes. But again, the expectation is with a guy like Crosby, you play through those things and you have success despite those kind of injuries. And unfortunately for Crosby, neither of those things happened this year.
All right. We hit this time of the year, and 3-4 years ago, I'd say, well, the Steeler fans, just Pittsburgh can't wait for the Steelers to start camp, and they would dominate. The Pirates have now done well enough with it to get people excited about them. Still, what is the mood in the city about the Steelers getting ready for camp?
You know, I think there's a kind of a renewed sense of excitement. I think last year people were a little bit hesitant to get excited about the Steelers because they knew what they were dealing with as far as age and guys at the other end of their career. They've overhauled that defense in such a way that they've gotten so much younger and so much faster. So I think people are excited about the youth, but I still think there's a bit of a wait-and-see approach. I think it's that old, okay, faster doesn't necessarily mean we're going to knock your teeth out. And at the end of the day, people want to see the Steelers defense knock people's teeth out, and I'm not sure they're convinced that that's going to happen yet, but I do think there's a renewed sense of excitement, and even a renewed sense of excitement about Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger working together, which I did not think I would ever be saying. I wasn't sure they'd even be together at this point.
I didn't think anybody would ever say that. That's interesting. All right. With LeBron trying to pick a team right now, are you sorry Pittsburgh doesn't have an NBA team?
Something tells me, Pittsburgh's patience would wear thin with, you know, not only with LeBron, but with the way the media circus that is LeBron. So, yeah, but you know what, though? People in Pittsburgh aren't even 100% sure what basketball is after, at this point. So, yeah, not exactly a basketball fan.
Yeah, Connie Hawkins is long gone. All right. Hey, Tony, yep. I know there's something you have to take care of and attend on your own here. We appreciate the fact you carved out some time for us today.
Very happy to do so. Have a great weekend.
That's Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Slipped in a little Steeler question there for you.
Thank you.
Dynamite drop in, Kev, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. LeBron James decision 2. This time it's back to Cleveland and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And out of nowhere, within the past couple of months, we don't know how successful it'll be for anybody, but Cleveland now with by drafting Johnny Manziel, who probably won't be the starting quarterback on opening day, getting LeBron James to come back. Indians have been playing better. It's a fun place to be, maybe.
Oh, you know who has to be really happy about this is Johnny. Because now maybe a little bit of the pressure is off of him in the next couple of weeks or the next month or so even.
I don't think he cares. Do you think he cares? He doesn't care.
Well, that may be true.
He doesn't care. But now you put him with Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins. They still need more parts on that team. And they cleared cap space to get LeBron. But somebody said, you know, they did this. I mean, how much better are they going to be? They signed LeBron James. Okay. They're better. Now, are they good enough to compete for the East? Yes, they're good enough to compete for the East. Who's the favorite in the East? I don't know. Indiana fell apart at the end of last year. Can you count on Derrick Rose? The Knicks? No.
It's the Sixers.
You know, the Sixers drafted really well, Kevin. They're 2 years away. When Joel Embiid is finally ready to play to go in conjunction with a Nerlens Noel who's looked really good in the summer league so far, they're going to be all right.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter.